Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom has a big smile on his face. He's just all ready for a great hour here on the Buckmaster Show, engineering and producing our program. Everything going well, Tom?
Well, it's either that or the chocolate-covered donut I just had. I'm not sure.
Yes. Were they the freshest? Oh, my goodness. I said to myself, there's no way I'm going to have one. Of course I did. It's Friday, November the 4th, 2016, the Buckmaster Show, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, and we do our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, which gets you over to kvoi.com. Together you can find us anywhere in the world listening to us wherever you are near a computer. On Friday, I do like to do a special thank you to the folks in the media who do support this program. TucsonSentinel.com, the editor-publisher Dylan Smith is with me in studio with his Cubs shirt on.
He's
very happy man. Inside Tucson Business, thank you to those people. Dan Shear, who is the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. TucsonLifestyle.com, one of our supporters. Southern Arizona News Examiner, that's Emil Franzi's organization. And David Morales with his three Sonorans support us. Our Friday focus interview, Dr. Kate Kensky, an associate professor of communication and government and public policy at the University of Arizona, where she teaches political communication, public opinion, and research methods. She is the associate editor of Public Opinion Quarterly. She is also the co-author of the award-winning book. It was titled and is titled The Obama Victory, How Media, Money, and Message Shape the 2008 Election. Dr. Kensky's current research focuses on the incivility in online forums. All of us have had an experience with that, for sure, and multimedia teaching strategies to mitigate cognitive biases. Dr. Kensky's mother, the late Dr. Margaret Kensky, was widely regarded as the gold standard of political pollsters in Arizona, and I miss Dr. Kensky very much, and I'm sure so does Dr. Kensky. Kate, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
And I also want to introduce our other panelist here in the studio with me, Tim Steller. Tim is columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and if you have a question or comment, any of our listeners, welcome to call in 790-2040. Our Facebook address is Bill Buckmaster. We're on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. All right, Dr. Kensky, what is different about the polling for this particular and the methodology, the difficulties, than what we ran into and pollsters ran into 4 years ago?
Many things. I would say one big thing, of course, is that because people become so interested in polling, there are a lot of people who are polling, and there is a great amount of respondent fatigue as a result. And that basically has meant that, you know, almost everyone has been adversely impacted who is doing polling, because a lot of people simply don't want to answer the phone.
And is there a difficulty now with very few people? I've still got one, but I'm kind of like a dinosaur in that regard with a landline. Tom, do you have one as well? Tom said he also is a dinosaur.
Well, I do, and I have an answering machine on it, and it acts as my go-between.
Does that still have a little mini cassette in that answering machine?
It used to, but I did upgrade to a newer version.
Well, so, joining the late 20th century.
So, Kate, we've got some dinosaurs here.
Well, I'm talking on a landline right now, so I will join
good.
You in that camp.
Good, good. So is it a difficulty, is it a problem in that regard with so many people with mobile devices?
It is, although there are ways around that, and typically organizations that really know what they're doing know how to weight the data in a certain way to try to compensate for that. Anytime we have to engage in too much weighting, there is a concern because we're making a certain amount of projection. But I would say that part, at least the big firms, groups such as the Pew Research Center, certainly know how to handle that.
All right, here's Tim Steller of The Star.
Hey, Dr. Kensky, how are you?
Good, thank you.
am interested in just how the vast quantity of polls we see out there this year. I've never seen anything like it. Seems like there's a presidential poll or three every day. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? The quantity of that is. Are we paying too much attention to it?
I would argue that for years now we have paid, in a sense, too much attention to the horse race at the expense of issue coverage. And it really has cultivated a citizen sense of that expectation that the horse race is where it's at, rather than some of the substance that really pertains to government. We know based on research that when people are exposed too much to the horse race, what ends up happening is they actually become cynical about the political process and actually disengage. Now, this election cycle is unique in the sense that I think we do have that fatigue, but then we also have the Trump phenomenon, which is keeping people paying attention.
Here's Dylan Smith.
In this bizarre, unique election cycle, we're in. What could be done differently to bring things back to the issues? At least at the presidential level, is so much about the personalities of both major candidates rather than people making any sort of decisions about issues.
That I think a large part of it has to be driven by the media, and that's problematic because with media being dependent upon revenues, I think that there's a self-fulfilling prophecy that the media feel that they are giving the public what it wants. But unfortunately, in the long term, that's going to undercut profits as people disengage from politics. So someone has to be the first to bring it into order. I'm not exactly sure what to make of it in the era of Trump, when personality has dominated politics for a while now, but now to such an extreme. And I think the reason why that Trump got so much free media coverage, of course, is because of his personality, and certainly has made a profit for many news organizations.
It makes it a little bit difficult to dig into issues when one of the candidates, he doesn't even really have any stances on the issues. He says, elect me now and I'll give you a big, beautiful plan later.
Absolutely. We'll see, what happens if it ends up that he, gets elected and how that shapes governance. I suspect that with either candidate winning, because this election is so incredibly polarized, we're going to see sort of a version of the continuation of the horse race coverage, not in who's going to win or who's going to lose, but how well the president is doing. And so what I anticipate is with the next year that issues will normally get focused a little bit when someone's first elected, may take a back seat to how people feel about the new president.
Is there any civility on the social media? I know you've been looking at incivility. Those of us that are in the public eye, we, of course, have to deal with all sorts of comments. But is it getting worse this time around because of this election?
It's something that we're still engaging in the short term. Yes, in some forums, although a good number of the posts that the candidates engage in isn't necessarily them being uncivil. It's more citizens being uncivil. Most candidates, at least most candidates, can't get away with being too uncivil, I should say. They can certainly attack, and attack is not the same thing as incivility. So they've certainly been attacking, but candidates themselves, generally speaking, again, there's some candidates who are exceptions, can't get away with being uncivil directly. So they tend to actually be rather substantive when it comes to their online posts.
Laura is waiting to speak. She's called us at 790-2040. Laura, you're with Dr. Kate Kensky.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. The reason why I called is because I heard, I'm not sure if it was a gentleman from the Star, making a claim that Trump just said, hey, elect me and you'll get what you want later, and hasn't gone into any of the issues. He's been extremely detailed about his plan on a number of occasions. I've watched a number of the rallies. I've read articles on both sides. He's been extremely substantive. So, I mean, to make that generalized, throw that out and go, he's nothing. It was like, I don't know what everybody else is paying attention to, but I'm thinking he perhaps hasn't really been paying attention. So okay. I just wanted to offer that up. Thank you.
Thank you. And it was Dylan Smith, right?
Yeah. And if you go listen to Trump, he makes a lot of bombastic claims, but he does not offer any actual policy details about the sort of legislation he would try and get through Congress or the approach that he would take in foreign policy. Just take it, Syria, for example, where he's shifted his assessment of what's going on there in a number of different ways, but still claims that we need to somehow work with Russia to support the Assad regime because they are fighting ISIS. And, you know, for the most part, the Russians and the Assad regime are fighting not ISIS so much as the other rebel groups that we are supporting.
All right, Dr. Kensky, please stick around. We've got another segment coming up here on The Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview. Dylan Smith is here from TucsonSentinel.com, and Tim Steller is here from the Arizona Daily Star. And in honor of all of our Cub fans, and everybody's a Cub fan, it seems millions turned out for the Cub parade today. Here's Frank Sinatra.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it, bet your bottom dollar you lose the blues in Chicago.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We're watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen. Also, our monthly visit with General John Wickham. General Wickham is the former United States Army Chief of Staff. Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, with worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're playing our bumper music, our intermission music that has a connection to my hometown, Chicago, in honor of the Cubs, and that's the Buckinghams, a local band that came out of Chicago, named for Buckingham Fountain, which is one of the biggest public fountains in the United States, located in the center of Grant Park, where today hundreds, if not... Well, there's like a million people.
Pushing a million people. It's turned out for the Cubs victory parade today.
Honoring the Cubs. And believe it or not, the Buckinghams are still performing, still touring. Tim Steller is here. Tim is columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Dylan Smith is the editor, publisher, and founder of TucsonSentinel.com. Dr. Kate Kensky is our Friday Focus interview. And Dr. Kensky, an associate professor of communication and government and public policy at the University of Arizona. Dr. Kensky, what about this somewhat, it would be like an outlier poll, the University of Southern California and the Los Angeles Times, what they call their daybreak tracking poll. Mm-hmm. Since the very beginning, really, of this race, they have shown Trump with a lead, a consistent lead. How can you have such an outlier as that?
I believe that particular poll was using some weighting that tended to upweight African-American respondents. And the reason why some of those polls were standing out was because they happened to get, I think it was one or two African-American respondents who have very conservative views, which is atypical of the group. And it is believed that that outlier basically was affecting some of the results. And so I suspect it has to do with the weighting. But I would say generally that when we're looking at polls, I think it's important to remember that at least in this era where so many people aren't responding to polls, that I don't think polls are as useful for pinpointing exact percentages to put between candidates. I think what they're useful for is looking across time and seeing if there's upswings or downswings in the movements of candidates.
Here's Tim Steller, the star.
Well, what are some of the things you look for that either show a strong poll, one that should be trusted, or a poll that should be looked at askance with a lot of skepticism?
Well, first I would say I definitely take a look at the sample size of the poll. That can make a huge difference. Keep in mind that particularly with close elections, you need a really large poll in order to, representative, of course, that's been randomly sampled, in order to figure out what's going on. To put things in perspective, if you have a poll that, let's say, only has 400 people, you have about a 5% margin of error. If you have a poll that has about 1,100 people in it, you get a 3% margin error. Now, a lot of times we're interested in races where it is neck and neck. For example, if you really wanted to accurately pinpoint Gore versus Bush in 2000, which ended up being a difference of 0.5% nationally, you would have essentially needed a poll that had 38,000 people in order to get that kind of margin of error. The other things to consider are the sources. Are they groups that are well known and that have had their methodology, tested over time? That really can make a difference as well. The final thing I would say is, are they releasing how they are weighting the data? Because I can guarantee that in this point in polling, everybody is weighting their data somehow. But a lot of organizations don't release their details. And as they say, the devil can be in the details. And so you really want to know about their methodology and how data are being weighted.
Could you just explain weighting, what that means?
Sure. So we know that some people, when they answer the phone, are more likely to participate in a poll than others. For example, women tend to be, first of all, people in the household who answer the phone for those households that have landlines. But number two, when you talk to a person, a female is more likely to complete a poll than is a man. And so what that means is that when you conduct polling, if it's a random sample, you're going to have more female respondents most of the time than male respondents, answer the survey. But you either want the results of your poll to reflect the population or at least be good projections of the likely voting population. And so that means that if you have a poll that weights or that has a lot of females in it, you're going to want to count each female a little bit less and each male a little bit more so that your end results look like, again, that they're more reflective of the population that you want to capture.
All right, here's Dylan Smith.
One more quick query about methodology, since you know so much more about this than the rest of us. With this sort of election cycle we're looking at now, is a tracking poll where you survey the same group of people over and over again to see how they might change, is that a good way to get a handle on things? I mean, we've seen, especially with that LA Times poll, that that sample can give you a perhaps incorrect picture of what's going on.
I think that repetitively going back to the same people can be really good if you're doing an academic study trying to look at change. I don't know that I would trust it for end results on where the nation or a given area is standing at a given point in time. And the reason is because when people get the same questions again and again and again, it can change how they think about elections, and it can also have what we call experimental mortality. That is that the more you go back,
that's a great phrase.
They get tired of it, and so they tend to drop out of the study. And we know, for example, that people who aren't as interested in politics are going to be more likely to drop out of your repeated study. The ones who are more interested in politics are going to stay in your study than those who are less interested.
And you're not adding new people to it generally, right? So your pool is getting smaller and smaller?
If it's a panel, then no. There are methodologies, one heavily used by the Annenberg Public Policy Center in 2004 and 2008. It's called the rolling cross-section. And so what the rolling cross-section is you maybe ask people every day, but you're asking a fresh, random sample of the population. And in that way, you can't look at how individuals change exactly, but you can look at how populations change. And I think those types of approaches tend to be much more representative of the end results.
What are the polls that you have been watching that you trust?
I trust polls for looking at trends. I don't trust polls at this point in time for exactly what's the exact difference between where the candidates are. So I tend to go to aggregators like Real Clear Politics, because what they do is take a wide variety of polls and then average things across time. And so that way, I think I have a pretty good sense of when things are going up or going down between candidates.
And how are they going right now, in your opinion, or from what you've seen? How would you say this race is going to turn out?
Well, I think that at this point in time, Clinton appears to be ahead, and except for a handful of dates in these aggregated polls, she has been ahead. But at the moment, the trend is going down enough so that Real Clear Politics has changed its projections on the electoral map, and more territories are now in the toss-up category. So I think she has some reason for concern. The other thing that Real Clear Politics has been tracking is who people think is going to win. And what's interesting is that the margin between what people report in terms of how they're going to vote is much smaller than who they think is going to win. A lot of people think that Clinton is going to win, and I think that should be a concern for her campaign, because if people feel too comfortable that she is going to win, they may not actually show up at the polls.
Go ahead, Tim.
What are you thinking about Arizona? We don't have as much polling here. Mm-hmm. Do you have any sense of whether the state really is a toss-up or if it's going any direction?
So I think that Arizona, although we have been, you know, consistent in our Republican leaning, should always be considered a region at play. And the reason is because even though Republicans have, you know, consistently won, I think since 1952, with the exception of the 96 presidential election, the margins between those who are red and those who are blue is usually less than 10%. And so what that suggests to me is that there's always the possibility that, you know, Arizona could happen to change if the right people were mobilized. And so I think Arizona definitely could be at play. It just depends on how much candidates are willing to put into this region.
How about the congressional races with Martha McSally and Matt Hines? Do you have any sense on that one, Dr. Kensky?
It's a little bit hard just because I have not conducted these polls, but the ones I have seen have suggested that that McSally, you know, is ahead. One thing that I think is interesting is among the many polls that I have answered myself, because I feel a sort of a duty to answer polls because of what
I wondered about that. Yeah,
that it's really hard for me to turn. Yes, it's really hard for me to turn down polls when it's what I ask other people to do. But I know that I don't know whether it was McSally's campaigns or Hines's campaign, but they were asking a lot of questions beyond who do you plan to vote for. Really targeted questions about sort of strengths and weaknesses of each candidate, which was interesting because it suggests that whoever's ever doing the campaign polling, they really are looking for which issues are moving voters.
Dylan, a quick question.
That brings up a question that just popped into my head. I haven't seen or heard of too much of it locally in this cycle, but how do campaign run push polls or independent push polls that basically ask rude, obnoxious questions to try and plant a negative seed in people's minds? How does that play into trying to get people to answer what we might call legitimate polls?
To the extent that they exist, it's a problem. Just because, and it's not just the campaigns, but parties. It's like when you get those party materials and they have like 10 questions that all are completely biased leading questions, and the party doesn't really care your answer. They just want you to donate. It does clutter the process, and so that's a problem. But I would say this, that sometimes campaigns ask really negative questions, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's a push pull. It's only a push pull if their intention is to plant the seed in you, but not to do something with the data. My mother, who Bill mentioned, was a pollster in Arizona and one of the most precise pollsters, often asked very negative questions, a lot of times about the candidates that she was working for, in order to really understand what people didn't like about someone. And that information sometimes can, really help candidates if they have thick skin and are willing to at least, tolerate someone criticizing them, so that then they can, make changes.
Okay, one more quick question on the congressional race in CD1, which appears to be very close. Have you been seeing any polling that would indicate that is not going to be a close race?
The things I have seen have suggested that it is a toss-up right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dr. Kensky, thank you very much for spending some time with us. And for those who joined us perhaps midstream, luckily, this particular program for looks like this week only anyway will be repeated. I know it's going to be repeated this Saturday at 4 o'clock on KVOI from the 4 to 5 hour. So we'll get to hear the full program a second time as well. Kate Kensky, a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Dr. Kate Kensky of the University of Arizona, and she teaches. She's an associate professor of communication and government and public policy at the U, and she teaches political communication, public opinion, and research methods. All right, Dylan Smith and Tim Steller will be back with me in studio, but right now some more music with a Chicago twist as we honor the Cubs. More of the Buckinghams. Mercy, mercy, mercy.
My baby. Made out of love, like one of those bunnies out of the Playboy Club. But she got something much greater than gold. Crazy about that girl, how she got so much soul. I said she got the kind of loving, kissing and a hugging. Sure is metal. Glad that I'm a fella, and I know that she knocked me.
You love to laugh? Then don't miss Born Yesterday by Garson Kanin, presented by UA's Arizona Repertory Theater. Harry Brock tries to bribe senators in D.C. to help him with a crooked scheme, but his showgirl mistress needs some tutoring so the couple seems believable. See what happens when he discovers a little learning can be a dangerous thing. Come celebrate 80 years of your Wildcats in theater and see Born Yesterday through December 4th, co-sponsored by Jane Kibble with Campbell, Yost, Claire, and Laurel. Season sponsor, Chapman Automotive. Tickets.arizona.edu.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Cubs wearing love. Yeah, hold our head high as the underdogs. We are not fair weather, but foul weather fans. Like brothers in arms in the streets and the stands. There's magic in the ivy and the old scoreboard. The same when I stared at as a kid keeping score. In a world full of greed, I could never want more. And someday we'll go all the way.
Hey, that someday came this week for the Chicago Cubs. Eddie Vedder, he wrote the song, Dylan Smith, 5 years ago?
I think about 5 years ago or so, and didn't really perform it. Pearl Jam played a show at Wrigley back in August, I think, and did a really amazing rendition, brought a bunch of old former Cubs up on stage, and the family members of some Cubs players who passed away, mm-hmm. and really got the crowd going with that song, which captures so much of what as you well know, the ever-present yearning of a Cubs fan.
Oh my goodness! Yes,
so we didn't don't know quite to... what to do now.
I know
that's kind of at a loss. I want wait till next year is now. We're going to win another one next year. This is an amazing young team.
I know it just doesn't have the same
great players who play well together. Let's go and do it again.
Yeah, the repeat thing doesn't have the same.
It's hard to
thing.
Do. Yeah, yeah, when you're calling after the next one.
That's Tim Stellar. Tim is here.
Oh yeah, it is.
Tim is a columnist with the Arizona Daily Star. Dylan Smith is with us from TucsonSentinel.com. Our program, if you missed portion of it, we are repeating the show at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. So if you're listening to us while you're out running errands Saturday afternoon, hi, and join us if you can during the week. We're here Monday through Friday on the Buckmaster Show at noon. Tim, I think Tim and Dylan Prop 205, 206 have gotten a lot of attention. The statewide initiatives, one dealing with raising the minimum wage, I think that's a pretty safe bet, guys, that looks pretty safe.
Well,
the
polls have showed that one passing 2-1, pretty handily.
All you need to do also is look at the money that the opponents are spending on it, which is nothing. They've given up. So,
How about marijuana?
That's the closer one, and that's where a ton of money is being spent.
On both sides.
It's in the seven figures, more than a million by the Arizona Chamber of Commerce alone, let alone the million odd from the head of Discount Tire. He contributed $1 million. I mean, that's just on his own, a little small change.
Against it.
Against it, right. Mm-hmm. $500,000 from Sheldon Adelson in Las Vegas. Who else? There's a few $500,000. So there's tons of money against it. Also, a good amount for it, but the problem is they spend a lot of that money just getting to this point, getting the thing on the ballot, the Pro 205 people.
Mm. So, yeah, the polls had... have shown that sort of bouncing back and forth, either possibly passing narrowly, possibly failing narrowly. So that may come right down to the wire. It's a pretty tangled question. I know a lot of people who are very supportive of medical marijuana, mm-hmm. who have AMJ cards and they're actually on board with making recreational pot legal, a number of them, but they are opposed to the specific implementation in this measure, so they're voting against it anyway. So it's kind of, you know, there are people who didn't think it didn't go far enough, who questioned, you know, some of the ways that it would be slowly rolled out. It basically gives a little bit of a monopoly early on to the existing dispensaries. And there are other people who say, well, yeah, but we can, you know, adjust as we move along to make it right. We just need to get the ball rolling, yeah, and then figure it out.
Yeah, I think the one of the problems with the whole situation is that, of course, initiatives then are practically written in stone. We'd have to do another one to undo anything we get wrong. And that's one of the things that encourages people like me to think, God, we got to have a better way to legalize. Although, honestly, I don't see who's going to put the money forward to legalize a different way other than a self-interested group like the marijuana dispensary owners.
And we're seeing a whole lot of just, completely erroneous claims made by the No campaign. You know, they're pointing to things in Colorado and climbing up a mountain and grasping these supposed facts out of thin air. And so, you know, a lot of the rhetoric around it has been completely ridiculous.
You know, I ran out of time with Dr. Kensky. I had a couple of areas I wanted to get into. The Brexit pollsters were so far off. I think they had shown on the eve of the election that there was a 7% lead for the UK staying in the European Union. Just so far off. And you kind of wonder, wow, could that happen on Tuesday? And the other thing I wanted to talk about, because she's very much into looking at social media, there has just been a huge proliferation of fake websites that have been turning up on social media.
Websites with fake information, yes. False, yeah, information.
Okay. Yeah, they're not fake websites. Yeah,
they exist. You can go read them. But
yeah, the information is crazy.
Complete
and
BS.
One that's catching a lot of professionals is this abcnews.co, which is a site in the country of Colombia that people are getting and they're getting caught up.
That's run by somebody who lives in Phoenix, actually.
Really?
If you're ever reading a overblown news story that you click through from, if somebody shared it on Facebook, and if there's a innocent bystander named Paul Horner in that story, that story is complete BS. He sticks his own name in just about all of the stories.
Wow. Okay, that's a good thing to look for.
The abcnews.com.co, NBC, he's got dozens of these websites set up with what are, you know, I guess you could call it satire in a way, but it's just really clickbait. It's made to get you there to read it so he can get some advertising money. A story that came out yesterday from BuzzFeed, they did an investigation into a lot of these websites, and many of them are run by teenagers in the country of Macedonia.
What?
There are hundreds of fake news websites that are pro-Trump, and they found through experimentation, you know, the power of the marketplace, that they can earn They earn way more money with pro-Trump, bombastic, ridiculous, made-up headlines, and Hillary Clinton indicted today, and that kind of stuff, than they do with trying to churn out pro-Clinton news. They try both, and turning out complete nonsense in support of Trump is a way that these kids are putting away some healthy cash.
And another one that catches people, the celebrity who has died, or the celebrity like died 5 years ago, and people will jump in and say, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry to hear this news.
That works both ways. There's the celebrity death hoax websites, which are really automatically generated. You know, they drop several of these a day, or that, you know, such and such celebrity moved to the X city. And if you do a quick search, you can see that, you know, there are 77 celebrities that just moved to your town, and they also just moved to 146 other towns across the country.
What's so sad, though, is that these platforms, the social media, have allowed have blurred the line so much. You know, we can think back not too long ago when you could go through a supermarket and you would see the newspapers and then, and then you'd see Weekly World News. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd see the maybe New York Times or whatever, the Arizona Republic, and then you'd see Weekly. And there, you clearly knew that one was for fun and the other wasn't. That all the borders have been blurred so much, and it's really having a negative effect because people believe complete nonsense now that they wouldn't have believed, just 10 plus years ago.
And in a way, Facebook is really facilitating the spread of some of this complete nonsense. Quite often, these fake hoax, clickbait, or completely provocative for a reason. News in quote stories will be listed and under the related stories next to a link. You see a news story and then you see a couple other ones that have been inserted into your feed, and quite frequently those news stories, supposed news stories, will be complete nonsense as well, and they need to do a much better job at being able to have their algorithm pick out the keywords that we know signify these things are fake. People don't pay attention to URLs enough. If you see something that looks like a news story and but seems a little bit sketchy,
look
at the actual site you are on, which is that doesn't mean look at the logo up at the top left. Look at the URL,
right?
And if it's from someplace odd, think again about what you're reading.
What's Macedonia's what is their abbreviation for their country?
Well, I mean,
.com, unfortunately.
You can register a site for anywhere, but they've got all the I can't remember quite all the names, but they're ridiculous pro Trump names.
All right,
people end up sharing on Facebook and earning these kids a lot of money.
Guys, gotta go. Tim Steller, the Star. What's the column going to be on your next column Sunday? Or are you going to work on it this afternoon?
Oh, I'm always second guessing myself, but I think I've got a family, party family that is going to help me tell a bit of my last pre-election story. I'll leave it at that for now because I'm still thinking about it.
Hey, Dylan, thank you very much for hosting and sitting here in the middle chair a couple of weeks ago.
A pleasure. Happy to do it.
And we will see you guys. It's going to be over soon.
It's all over, but for the counting.
There you go. All right. Thanks, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in the World Series, and maybe sooner than we think.
You love to laugh? Then don't miss Born Yesterday by Garson Kanin, presented by UA's Arizona Repertory Theater. Harry Brock tries to bribe senators in D.C. to help him with a crooked scheme, but his showgirl mistress needs some tutoring so the couple seems believable. See what happens when he discovers a little learning can be a dangerous thing. Come celebrate 80 years of your Wildcats in theater and see Born Yesterday through December 4th. Co-sponsored by Jane Kibble with Campbell, Yost, Claire, and Laurel. Season sponsor, Chapman Automotive. Tickets.arizona.edu.
Five-star Termite and Pest Control is announcing they now have pigeon services with a pigeon poem. Pigeons procreate prodigiously, producing up to 8 progeny per year. Perching precariously, they plaster half their weight in poop per day. Poop collects, creating a problem with parasites and pestilence. Employ Five-Star Pest Control's Pigeon Trapping and Exclusion Program, and you'll be pleased. Whew, getting through that was way harder than you might think. Call Five-Star at 886-0045 and visit fivestartermite.com.
We know what bumps you.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved, almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New
York. American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now, with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Road trip time, 3 hours east of Tucson. A great place to get away, Silver City. So many things to do, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or visiting the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. You can find out about the many recreation opportunities, and there are several dozen, including several dozen great places to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch here on the Buckmaster Show, award-winning Tucson publicist, Mr. Matt Russell. And Matt, there's some good news happening downtown.
I tell you what, Bill, I love the sights and sounds of construction downtown these days. And at the heart of it is the AC Hotel Tucson by Marriott. Mm-hmm. They're going to be celebrating the completion of their vertical construction with a topping out event tomorrow afternoon from 1 to 5. Now, this is a community-wide event, and guests are going to have the opportunity to get kind of a preview of the hotel's interior and exterior design while enjoying, here it comes, Bill, free ice cream from Hub Ice Creamery, free cold brew coffee from Cafe Luce, free short rib tacos and guacamole from Charo Steak, pizza and drinks available for purchase, and live music as well. The hotel expects, Bill, to open next summer, and this sounds like a delicious way to kind of get a sneak peek at their exciting plan.
Oh, food and beverage opportunities. I love it. All right. How about some block party opportunities?
Yeah, after tomorrow's topping out event, I'm going to be heading over to the Three Wells Distilling Company over on 44th Street, kind of near Palo Verde, for a parking lot block party that's going to be showcasing some of our community's craft beverage purveyors, including Three Wells and Hamilton Distillers, 1055 Brewing, Green Feet Brewing Company, Yellow Brick Coffee, some food trucks thrown in to keep us fed as we enjoy all of these great beverages. $25 gets you in, and proceeds are going to support science, technology, engineering, and math education. Sounds like craft for a cause. I love it.
I know you love Hacienda del Sol.
I tell you what, Bill, and this Sunday, it's one of my favorite food and wine events of the year. Up at the Hacienda, it's the 12th annual Argentina Heart and Soul, a celebration of the culture and the cuisine, and of course, the wine of South America. We're talking suckling pig, corn, chili, and potato empanadas, grilled lamb, steak chimichurri, chorizo bruschetta, an endless array of food, and of course, a full spectrum of South American wines. It's Sunday from 4 to 7 p.m. Bill, tickets are going fast. Your listeners should call 529-3500 to reserve theirs right now.
I love those Malbecs from Argentina. Oh,
too many to count. So little time. We got to do it.
Hey, have a wonderful weekend, my friend.
Right back to you, sir. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. All right, we want to tell you a couple of quick things here. Dennis Prager, because of the time difference starting Monday, his show starts at 10. So if you don't hear him at 9, we've got a new local talk show starting from 9 to 10. But you'll hear more about that, but don't worry. Prager will be coming up at 10. Also, another programming note for the weekend, Sean McCluskey's Talk of the Town show is back and will be on from 1 to 4 tomorrow on Sunday. Then from 4 to 5, we have this re-airing of the Buckmaster show. So we've got the great weekend lineup as usual with some additions there. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. Want to thank our fine music composer, Christophon, the original theme music from this fine German composer. There's a link on our website, buckmastershow.com. On behalf of everybody here at KVOI, including Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, Ray Allen, who's in that position Monday through Thursday, and the whole team here, I'm running out of time, can't mention everybody, but I love you all, and have a great weekend.